Hey, happy 4th of July to all of you at Midcurrent Church, Cedarbrook Church, and Renew Church. My name is Sten, and I'm the pastor at Midcurrent in Hudson, and I absolutely love the collaboration and the partnership that exists between all three of our churches. And so I am so glad to have the opportunity to share with all of you today up and down I-94 throughout Western Wisconsin. And we figured that this weekend in particular, you might be on vacation at the campground, on the lake, on a boat, or at the cabin. And so we figured I might as well join you today. And so that's where I am. I brought a couple things with me today that I'm excited to share with you. The first is my rather large, awkward-sized, long, black TV remote. And the second is my thin, small, kind of sleek, white Apple TV remote. Now, I don't know about many of you, but in my house with three young kids, this tiny, thin, sleek, white remote is lost just about 99% of the time. Whenever we need this on a given moment, we can never find it. We search high and low, and we usually go without it for up to a week or two at a time until we discover that it was between couch cushions or up against the wall behind some piece of living room furniture. That is until we discovered about this little trick, okay? With just a tiny piece of Velcro on the back of each side, this tiny, hard to find remote can now be strapped forever to the back of the big, easy to find black remote, no matter where it goes. It was my wife that fixed this problem so we don't lose it anymore. She fixed the problem after reading an article online promoting household hacks. Okay, these are little tips and tricks to make everyday living just a little bit easier at home. Maybe you've seen similar articles about becoming more effective or more efficient with household needs with, you know, just the use of, you know, a roll of toilet paper or a paperclip. And when you discover these little tricks, the only thing left that you're asking, and I find myself asking the same question about these tips and tricks, the only thing you're left asking is, why did I not think of something like this just a little bit sooner? Why did we not think of this sooner so that we never lost this little guy again? The truth is, there are thousands of different hacks for life at home, for life at work, for life in the kitchen or at school and beyond. And so the question behind this entire series is this: are there hacks when it comes to faith? Are there tips and tricks and techniques that could help us take another step forward when it comes to our own personal faith and the journey that we are on? And we think there are. And so the hack that I want to talk about today is revealed to us by a man from the days of the Old Testament, and his name is Zacchaeus. And I'm not sure that Zacchaeus knew that he was offering a faith hack to all who would hear his story, but he has an encounter with Jesus that changed him. And in the process, we learn a very vital lesson about this thing in the church and this thing in faith that we call confession. And before we get to Zacchaeus, let me say a word first about this thing that we do call confession. Every single human being on planet Earth, from the Pope all the way on down, falls short of God's intended standard for our lives. It is true. We all fall short, and when we do, we call that sin. And just about every single faith tradition or denomination that exists has created their own system for removing that sin. And just about every one of them includes some form of this thing called confession. Now, I'm gonna guess that most of you are familiar with the concept of confession in general, right? But sometimes I wonder how much we really understand what it's all about, or if we really actually apply it to our lives in the way that it was intended. It's like my wife and me, after a long weekend, oftentimes here at the lake, after a long weekend of eating way too much sugar or way too much dessert, we reach this point of confession, like enough is enough. I've had way too much. I can't do this anymore. And so we agree, no desserts for the rest of the week. And then by about Tuesday night, we're both trying to tempt each other to split a bar of sea salt caramel dark chocolate. It's like we were serious on Sunday, but now on Tuesday, maybe not so much anymore, which begs the question, well, how serious were we to begin with? And I think the same thing often happens in our spiritual lives, right? So often we reach a certain point and we admit, hey, you know what? Enough is enough. I can't keep this up any longer. I'm actually really ready to make a change. And so we tell God how bad we feel about what happened. We tell God how bad we feel about what we did. But if we're honest, that feeling doesn't always seem to last. Right, the next day or the next week or the next month, so often it seems we're still tangled up in whatever it is that we felt bad about in the first place. And I would suggest that's because we're just a little bit confused about what confession really is. Too often we've turned confession into nothing more than just kind of a game that we play with God. And the truth is, all of us from just about every single faith tradition play this game. If you grew up Catholic and you hear me say the word confession, I'm willing to bet that one thing comes to mind. Sitting in a little booth on the other side of some privacy screen and telling some stranger your deepest, darkest secrets, right? And then that priest who sits on the other side of that screen, he tells you to say a few Hail Marys or flash a few spiritual looking hand signals, and then boom, your sins are gone. And if you mess up tomorrow, no problem. Come on back, flash a few more religious looking hand signals, and you're good to go, okay? And for those of you who grew up Protestant, meaning you grew up Lutheran or Baptist or Methodist or something similar like the churches that we are a part of, then we've created our own little confession system. And we get a little cocky about this because we don't have to go to a priest. Right? We have direct access to the big man himself, no middleman needed. And so all we have to do, we love this, right? All we have to do is we have to go home at night, kneel by our bed, tell God all of the sins that we have committed, tell him about all of the things we're feeling badly about. And then it's like magic. God forgets about it and our sin is gone forever. That is at least until tomorrow, when we do the very same thing today that we told God we felt bad about yesterday. You ever been there before? It's this vicious little cycle, right? I felt bad about it yesterday, but then like Britney Spears says today, oops, I did it again. See, the problem with both of these systems of confessions, and I'm going to throw us all in the same boat now, the problem with the Catholic or the Protestant or any other system of confession is that they've all been reduced to, at best, a conversation with God, or at worst, an attempt to outsmart God. Right? And so then we think to ourselves, well, all we have to do is to confess every time that we sin, and then we're covered. And the beauty of it all, this is what we love so much, the beauty of it all, the beauty of this confession thing, the way we've designed it, is as long as we go see a priest every now and again, or as long as we kneel before our bed a few times a week when we're feeling really bad about ourselves or bad about what we've done, then we can just keep on living our life however we want, and we don't have to feel bad about it anymore. How great is that? Well, I'm guessing that you can tell by the tone of my voice that that is not actually what this thing called confession is really all about. And so Midcurrent, Cedarbrook, and Renew, here is what I want to suggest to you today. Confession is not about conscience relief. Okay, let me say it a different way. Genuine confession is a whole lot more than lip service. It's something so much more than that. What is it then, you might be asking? That's a great question. And today, Zacchaeus' story, I think, is going to help us discover. I think Zacchaeus' story will help illustrate what exactly it is. So then, let's turn our attention to that story. Let's turn our attention right there, right now. Zacchaeus' story is told in Luke chapter 19. Where we first learn that Zacchaeus was a tax collector. And these guys were rich, and they made most of their money by ripping off people all the time. Zacchaeus cheated a lot of people out of their own money, and as a result, people hated him. And they hated anyone in his profession. And so one day Jesus shows up in town and he comes walking down the road. And as was the case, oftentimes when Jesus went places, a crowd began to gather. Word had traveled about this guy. He's famous. He's doing incredible miracles. And so everyone wanted to see with their own eyes this man called Jesus. And so did Zacchaeus. The problem is the Bible says that Zacchaeus was a tiny little man. And so he had to climb a tree just to get a glimpse of Jesus. And when Jesus stopped by, he stopped and he looked up and he said, "Zacchaeus, I want to go to your house today." He says, "Zacchaeus, I want to come and be a guest in your house today." And the people that are lining the streets, the crowds that have gathered, they're freaking out. Why in the world would Jesus go to this guy's house? Why in the world would Jesus be a guest at the home of such a lowlife? They can't believe it. And so Jesus goes, they eat lunch together. And when Zacchaeus is finished listening to Jesus's teaching, whatever it was that Jesus taught, we don't really know exactly. But when Zacchaeus finishes listening, here's how he responds. We start looking in verse 8. It says this. It says, "And so Zacchaeus stood up and he said to the Lord, 'Look, Lord, here and now I give half of my possessions to the poor.'" Right? He's feeling bad about something in his life. And he says, "Okay, here and now I give half of my possessions to the poor." This is huge, right? In Jewish tradition, actually, it was considered very, very generous to give away 20% of one's possessions. And Zacchaeus here, he's prepared to give 50% away because he feels so bad about something that has happened. But he's not even going to stop there. Beyond giving half of his possessions to the poor, he takes it a step further and ultimately holds himself to a standard of restitution or a standard of payback that's expected of thieves and criminals in that day. Here's what he goes on to say. He says, "Lord, and if I have cheated people on their taxes," that's an understatement, right? "If I have cheated them on their taxes, I will give them back four times as much." Now, the Bible doesn't say it specifically, but something happened inside of Zacchaeus. How do we know? Right? Well, I think we know because Zacchaeus had a change of heart that is evident in his actions for those that he cheated. Right? His actions demonstrated a genuine change in his heart. He doesn't just tell Jesus, "Hey, I feel bad about what I did. Can I just get a fresh start tomorrow?" No, right? He knew he had done wrong and he was committed then to making it right. And here's how Jesus responds. He says, "Today, salvation has come into this house because this man too is now a son of Abraham." Right? Salvation has come into this house today. I think, friends, I think that this is one of the most compelling pictures of confession. And now you might wonder, right? You might be asking, well, how do we know that there was actually a moment of real confession here? Because it doesn't really say specifically, and you're exactly right. It doesn't necessarily say this specifically, but by the way that I understand all of this, there had to have been a moment of confession of the most genuine kind. Right? Jesus says salvation has come to the house of Zacchaeus. Salvation has come into the house of a man whose list of sins is a mile long. And so here's what I think. I don't think that there is salvation from sin unless there is confession of it in the first place. And so the way I read it, there had to have been a moment of genuine confession from Zacchaeus. And so here's what I think we learned. Here's what we need to know then for the morning. Here's what we learned from Zacchaeus about true and genuine confession. Genuine confession, okay? It's not lip service. It's not conscience relief. Genuine confession is a recognition that there is a wrong that needs to be made right. Let me say that again. Genuine confession, it's not lip service. It's not just getting a clear conscience from how bad it is we feel about what we have done. Genuine confession is recognition that there is a wrong that now needs to be made right. See, Zacchaeus had an encounter with Jesus where Jesus must have shined a light into his soul because that encounter genuinely changed him. And the proof is in the action that Zacchaeus took. He didn't just say, "I'm so sorry," and then move on. That's what my kids do when they get busted. They think as long as they say sorry in a really serious sounding voice, then they're off the hook. And I always tell them, hey, I appreciate that. But what I tell them and what I try to teach them is that the best way to say you're sorry is to never let that happen again. That's the ultimate proof that you are serious about what you have done. And I think the same is true for us. I think we do the same thing, right? We think the proof that we're serious about how about what we've done. We think that the proof is how serious we are and how bad we feel and how much we beat ourselves up. We think the proof about how serious we are is in all of that stuff. And so what happens is we go to church and the pastor says something a little bit convicting, and so then we start to feel guilty, and then we equate sitting in church and feeling guilty with being a real, close spiritual moment with God. And so then we have this private conversation with God about how bad we feel. And then our conscience is clear. And then we can go on our merry way. But when we consider Zacchaeus' story, I think we see that confession is something so much more than that. It's something so much more than just saying sorry and no longer having to feel bad about what we have done. It's so much more than lip service, and it's intended to be so much more than conscience relief. See, friends, I don't want us, and I don't want you to forget how it is that Jesus responds anytime he confronts sin in stories of the Bible, right? He is always so full of grace and so full of truth at the same time. And the essence of his message to everyone that he encounters is your sins are forgiven. Now go and sin no more. He doesn't say, hey, your sins are forgiven, so I'll wait here, come back tomorrow, and we'll do this whole thing over again. No, he says, go and sin no more. He says, show me, by the way that you live your life, that you are serious about what you say. Okay? Now hear me very clearly. I am not saying that the expectation of genuine confession is lifelong perfection. I'm not saying that from this day forward, we would live a truly blameless and sinless life. That's just not realistic. It just seems to me that the expectation of real, genuine, true confession in our life is some sort of active, ongoing, lasting, tangible, visible attempt at making right what it is that was wrong. I think that's how God knows that we are serious and that our confession is not just momentary lip service. Right? Confession is not simply an indicator of how guilty or how horrible you feel. Zacchaeus demonstrates this for us. He recognized. When I read his story, right, I think it is evidently clear that he recognized that there was a wrong that he needs to make right. And that's what true confession is all about. So friends, let me ask you this today. Wherever it is that you're watching from or tuning in from today, let me ask you this. Is there an area in your life, is there a wrong in your life right now that needs to be made right? So I wonder if there's any part of your life that it is just stuck in this, oops, I did it again kind of loop. I wonder if there's any perpetual hurt or habit or hang up in your life or in your relationships that doesn't seem to go away no matter how guilty or no matter how bad it is that you feel about it, no matter how many times you've told God that you're sorry about it. And if that's the case, what I want to do today is I want to help you to take this thing that we call confession to the next level by helping you create a plan to make confession as powerful an experience as it was intended to be. And so here's what I would then suggest to you. Three things. Tell God, tell a friend, and then make it right. If you want to take confession to the next level, tell God, tell a friend, and then make it right. Okay, number one, the first step is this, to tell God. I do believe that genuine confession is more than just a conversation with God, but that doesn't mean that you should just skip it altogether. That doesn't mean that you just skip the step of acknowledging where it is that you may have gone wrong. You have to start there. In fact, 1 John 1:9 reminds us of this. Listen to what it says. It says, "But if we confess our sins to Him, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all wickedness," right? God is the only one who can forgive us from sin and the ultimate consequences of our sin. And so we have to start by telling God. And if then, if you've already told God, maybe one time or a thousand times, if you've already told God, then it's time to do step number two, which is tell a friend. If you've already told God, now it's time to tell someone in your life. The New Testament writer James says, "Confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed." Now, I get it, folks. This is challenging to think about, right? Most of us would prefer to just keep ourselves isolated and keep ourselves, you know, insulated from others, thinking that that is the best way, you know, to keep ourselves safe, right? That is our best and our safest bet at all times, right? Somehow we've been convinced that it's weak to admit to others that we've messed up, that we've fallen short. And so in an effort to show how strong we are, we hide all of this. We hide all of the mess in our life from everyone else. And sometimes we kind of suffer and we struggle in isolation. But the truth is, friends, I think the real sign of weakness is not being willing to confront whatever it is that isn't right. I think telling a friend is pivotal. Some of the biggest progress that I've made in my life and in my faith has happened when I've chose to let other people in on the struggle and other people in on the battle that I might be facing. When we tell ourselves that telling God only, that's enough, and that's a great step, but when we tell ourselves that telling God only is all that it takes, I think we're at times just playing more games with God. In this way, confession just ends up being something where we say, "Hey God, we're good, right? I mean, I still hate Him, but I told you how bad I feel about it, so we're still good, right? I mean, I have this thing on the side over here, and I'm still going to keep this part of my life under lock and key, but I just want you to know that I feel really bad about it, and so we're good, right?" Yeah, I think we start to think, man, this is the best of both worlds. I told God how bad I feel, but then I actually didn't have to do anything about it. Friends, I don't think that gets us anywhere. That doesn't produce any positive change in our life. But I think accountability will help us to begin moving in that direction. When we bring others in on it, we're giving others permission to check in, to follow up, and to hold our feet to the path that we've set out on. It's a scary step, but it's a powerful step in this process of genuine confession. And finally then, if you've told God and you've told a friend, then all that's left is to make it right. That's number three. Make it right. Make it right. Okay, confession, it's not just about feeling better about the things that we have done wrong. It's not just about a conversation with God about all the bad things we've done. Confession is an indication that we recognize that there is a wrong that we need to make right. Right? It was by His actions that Zacchaeus demonstrated the change in his life. It was by His actions that He demonstrated the change in his heart. He gave half of his possessions to the poor and gave back four times the amount that he cheated from people to begin with. He went above and beyond what was expected by Jewish tradition and by Jewish law. And so what would that look like for you? I mean, what would it look like to go above and beyond, right? What would it look like to do more than what was expected in order to make right what had gone wrong? This is the last step for you and I to take. And here's what I want to suggest for you. Do it today. Right? Before the sun goes down today, make it right. If there is something that has gone wrong, make it right. And what I mean by that is this: write the email, send the text, mail the letter, set up the lunch, invite them to coffee, make the apology, come clean. Do it today. True confession, right? It is found in a heart that recognizes that there is a wrong and that now is the time to make it right. Now here's the deal, friends. I'll be honest with you. If you don't really want to take a step forward in this part of your life and in this part of your faith, then the good news for you is you don't have to do this, right? If you're content with the system that you've kind of created and set up for yourself, then maybe this isn't for you. But, right? If you want to get out of this rhythm in this routine of just telling God that you're sorry over and over again, if you want to finally move on from that secret sin that has a grip on you, if you want genuine confession to bring about genuine lasting change in your life, change that honors God and change that honors the other people around you, if you want to give God more than just lip service, then maybe it's time for true confession. True, genuine confession. Maybe it's time to tell God, to tell a friend, and to make it right. I think you'll be glad that you did. Let me pray. God, we give you so much thanks for this chance to be together today. Right? All of us, no matter where we are, no matter where we're tuning in from, we give you thanks for this chance to still be together, to still be the church. And God, our heart today is that you would help us, God, that this is our heart and our prayer too, that you would help us to take another step in this faith journey that we're on. God, we don't have to, you know, make one big leap all at once. We just want to be people every day that are taking one more step toward you in life and in faith, God. And the reality is this thing that we call confession is a part of that, God. Getting real about the places where we, you know, where we fall short and where we want to, you know, make things right, that's a part of taking another step toward you, God. And I just know, God, maybe I'm speaking from experience, but I just know and I have a sense that so many of us just get caught in a loop, right? We're trying to deal with the things that we've done wrong, just become kind of a daily or a weekly loop where we feel bad and we say sorry and we kind of come clean with you about what's happened, God, but we don't really ever move beyond that. God, and I want all of us to be moving beyond that. God, I want all of us to be experiencing true freedom, right, from the sin that so easily entangles us, God. And so I'm praying, God, and I'm hoping that everybody tuning in today would be willing to pray this prayer too, God. I'm praying that you would examine us, God, that you would search our hearts, that we would open our hearts to you, and that we would allow you to shine a light. Maybe just like Jesus did with Zacchaeus, God, we want you to shine a light into our heart and into our soul, so that we might see the places and the opportunities and the areas of our life that have gone wrong that we need to make right. God, give us the courage to take that step. Give us the courage to come clean, to tell you, God. Give us the courage to tell a friend, and give us the courage to make it right. All the while, God, would you remind us of your amazing grace for us that makes it possible for us to do the hard work of pursuing you more each and every day, God. We give you thanks for your Son, Jesus Christ, and the grace that he makes available to us each and every day. And we pray this in your name. Amen. Hey, MidCurrent, thanks so much for joining us today. We hope you have a great rest of this weekend and the week to follow. And we look forward to seeing you back at 10:30 next Sunday. We'll be back on site and online as well for another week in our series, Faith Hacks. We'll see you then. God bless you.